wizard, Harry.
To the Harry Potter Book Club for The Order of the Phoenix with
Michael DeMauro,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Sarah Tompkins. This week, we talk about Chapter 34, The Department of Mysteries. We welcome a special guest to play a fun and slightly inappropriate game, and the Quidditch Cup continues.
We'll finish up the animals. Okay. Not like literally.
Finish them off.
That's gross.
Delicious.
No, I meant like kill, not the other ones.
I thought you liked dogs,
we
Vijaya.
Didn't
God.
This from you, Vijaya.
Yeah. It's killing all the animals.
The sicko. Anyway, sorry. What do bow truckles eat?
Ding, ding, ding.
Michael.
Wood lice.
Yes.
But they excellent. Also like.
Yeah, what else do they eat?
But they.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Nice.
I
man, Michael, on fire.
I knew that one too.
Let's do laces for three.
Is it me with you?
Yes.
Aw, together.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right. On which row in the Department of Mysteries was Harry's prophecy located?
Yeah. Wait, what? Could you repeat the question, Alex? Okay.
Oh. Do I have to be snide like him?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
On which row in the Department of Mysteries was Harry's prophecy located?
That's pretty good snide.
Yeah.
Is it a number?
Yes.
4.
I'm gonna say 15.
It's 97.
Close.
We were both very close.
In the terms of from integers of like 0 to infinity,
sure.
4 is a lot closer to 90 whatever.
Harry and crew have seen these Thestrals, and they decide that the best way to get to wherever they need to go, which is the Department of Mysteries, because Harry believes, you know, that Sirius is in grave danger, is to fly the Thestrals, to ride on their backs. And Ron is like, that's super cool, but how are we going to do that? I can't see them. And Luna's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll help you. So everybody gets on a Thestral, and Luna and Harry are the only ones who can see them. And Ron says, like, this is mad. I wish I could see them. And Harry's like, no, you don't, because that would mean bad things. And he's really sassy about it, but that's fine. So apparently Thestrals are also kind of like taxis, because Harry's just like, we need to go to the Ministry of Magic, the visitor's entrance in London. And don't you hate it when like your Thestral drops you off at the front entrance and you asked to go on the 4th Street entrance instead? And you know what? Now you have to cross the street. It's a pain. But these Thestrals are great. They don't do that. So anyway, so they go, they fly like through the castle, or you know, over the castle, all the way to London, where they land at the ministry's entrance at the phone booth. Yes, which Harry has obviously seen before. Harry's like, what if Sirius is already dead? Oh no, I'd already feel it. Twilight, by the way, it's like already dark and terrible. And he's like, oh my gosh, how much longer am I going to be able to fight off Voldemort? And he's really having a thing as they're flying. But anyway, so he's like, you know what? It's fine. Sirius is still alive. He's still fighting. I'm still fighting. I can feel it. Anyway, so they get to London. They get to the phone booths. Harry remembers the code. And when they call the number, they ask, obviously, because they are visitors at the ministry, they ask what their business is. This is, welcome to Mr. Magic. Please state your name and business. And so Harry says, yeah, it's Harry, Ron, Ginny, Neville, Luna, you know, the whole gang. We're here to save someone. Unless, you know, the ministry can do it first. They wait a second and they tell him that, you know, visitors have to wear their badge, and the badges come out of the coin return as normal. And Harry looks at his, and his says, Harry Potter, rescue mission. I sincerely think that is one of the sweetest, most funny things. It's just very cute in a moment. It's like a little tiny moment of humor in this very, very sad, sad thing. So anyway, so they go into the Ministry of Magic, and Harry remembers that, you know, the voice vibe also tells them that they have to check in at the security desk, get their wand weighed, all that. And when they get in there, there's nobody there. It's super empty. Harry's pretty sure that no security guards is a bad sign. The only noise he hears is the fountain with all, you know, that wizard and the little elf with his hat tipped and all that nonsense. That big, big statue right in the middle because the water's still running. He and everyone go over to the elevators and they take the elevator to the Ministry or Department of Mysteries. And Harry's like, well, somebody's definitely going to hear us because this elevator is very loud. But again, nobody comes running. They get off the elevator at the floor for the Department of Mysteries and are not met by a single soul. So they get off and Harry sees this corridor that by this time, because of his dreams, he knows super well.
He's like, I've been here so many times, you guys.
Right. He's like, trust me, I know what's going on. And he's like, you know what, though? You guys should wait here because I need to handle this all by myself.
Oh, my God.
And Ginny's like, shut up. By the time you need help, you're going to be a mile away and then you're going to be dead. So what good are we? And we probably will be dead here. And he's like, fine, fine. And Neville says, yeah, we're coming with you, Harry. Adorable, brave Neville. He's not even fronting. He's going to do it. So they all go with him. And so he gets to the end. He sees his very familiar door. He swings it open. And he's standing in this large circular room. Again, just like in his dream. And it's all identical. Everything is black. Floors, doors, ceiling. There are candles that have these like blue flames on them. Harry says, someone should shut the door. I'm not exactly sure why. I think he's worried that somebody might see them in there. And as soon as he says this, Neville starts to do it, and he knows that it was a bad decision because the moment Neville shuts the door, it is pitch black in there.
They have so many doors around them, right?
There are so many doors. And so Harry is also still trying to figure out which door he's remembered from his dream that he's supposed to go through. And then not only is it pitch black and they're starting to get used to these, just the blue lights in there, but when the door shuts, the entire room with candles and everything starts spinning. And it comes to a stop. And Hermione's like, oh, that's so we can't remember what door we came in. And that is not great. Actually, Ginny says it, not Hermione, excuse me. Because Ginny's also very smart. So he's like, oh yeah, that's right. This is bad. And so Harry's like, well, guess it doesn't really matter now where we came from, in from or not. And I don't know which door it's going to be, so I might as well just try one. And Hermione says, that's fine, just don't go yelling for Sirius when you open the door. So he picks a door, and they go in. And in this room, there's all these, like, lamps that are hanging low, and there's stuff that's sort of, like, there's, like, not glittering lights, but there's something eerie, and they notice that there's an enormous glass tank of green water in the middle of this room. And Harry's like, what is that? And Luna is pretty sure it's aquavirus maggots.
Ugh. That doesn't sound good.
I don't know what they are. She says that her father says the ministry is breeding them. And Hermione says, no, they're brains.
Oh. Meek.
Yeah, and when Harry looks, he's like, they look like slimy cauliflowers.
Brains.
Which clearly means that they have pet zombies. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, so they're definitely brains in a tank. They look like slimy cauliflowers, as Harry says. And he's like, this is not right. I definitely did not dream this, so I'm going to go. But Ron does point out that there are doors there. And he goes, no, 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 this is definitely not the right room. We're not going to go through that door. Let's go back. So they go back. And the second they get out, Hermione's like, hold on a second. And she says, flagrate or flagrate, I don't know. But basically she puts a giant X on the door and...
That's a good idea.
It's such a smart idea that I would not have thought of, and that's why she's there. And suddenly the room starts spinning.
I would have thought about it, so...
Okay, fine. Would you have in that very stressful situation, Bajaya?
Yes, of course. I always keep a cool head.
Okay, fine. Cool head, burning wand. That seems wrong. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose, Hermione. So anyway, so the room starts spinning again, but this time they do see like an orange thing going round and round, and when it stops, the X is still burning, so they know what door they came in. So Harry picks another door. They go into this door, and in here is sort of like an amphitheater, kind of like when he had to go face the winds. Wizengamot, when he was trying to, you know, say that he didn't actually, like, he was trying to get, you know, ward off the Dementors, all that stuff. So there's all these rows of seats with, in the middle, there's a dais. And on the dais, there's this strange sort of frame. And in the frame, there's a veil that's just kind of hanging. And it looks like somebody has just gone through it. Like, it's moving like somebody has just gone through it. And Harry's kind of mesmerized by that. And he thinks he hears something. And so he asks who's there. And Hermione's like, shh, be careful. So Harry gets closer to the dais. And he keeps having this urge that he should just jump on top of the dais and kind of, he wants to go through the veil and he wants to see what's on the other side of it. And Hermione keeps asking, like, Harry, we should go, we should go. But he hears a murmuring and he turns to Hermione and says, do you hear that? Someone's whispering. And which, by the way, all of this in a horror movie would be a very bad thing. So Harry, this is when you leave. Nothing good comes from whispers beyond a veil.
Or the cheerleader in the group is like, let's go through the veil, you guys. Let's go see who's on the other side.
Right, and that's totally, Harry's totally the cheerleader right now. No one else can hear it except for Luna, which is interesting. And so, you know, Harry wants to go in there and he's worried that Sirius is on the other side. And Hermione's like, no, we're supposed to be looking for Sirius. He's not there. And Harry finally gets pulled away. He's like, yeah, of course. So he gets pulled away, but he's still incredibly drawn to it. They leave that room. Again, another X on that. Then Harry picks a third room. This time when he goes up to it, it's locked. And Harry's like, that's super weird. So he tries to sort of give all of his force and wait onto it, but it's not moving. And then he remembers the knife that Sirius gave him. He's like, ah, Sirius's knife. I can use that. So he kind of does the thing where he, like, in movies you see people do with a credit card, which doesn't actually hopefully work in real life if you have a good enough lock. And he, you know, he jiggles it down. Then does a shoulder in it again, and it doesn't move. And this time when he pulls this knife out, the entire blade has melted. So that did nothing and ruined his knife, which sucks. So there's nothing, you know, by the way, Hermione did try Alohomorpher, so it wasn't, you know, a super obvious thing. So they put an X on that one. It's not, you know, it's nothing. Harry chooses another door. When he opens the door, he knows at once that it's the right door.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, inside there's that. Remember how Harry thought he saw this, like, beautiful, sparkling, dancing light, which is missing in the brain room, but he kept seeing it in his dream?
Yeah.
This one has it. And in it, there are tons and tons of clocks. Large and small and grandfather and you name it. There's just tons and tons of clocks. Harry's like, this is definitely it. So they go, he knows, he sees at the end of the room, there's this huge bell jar. And it's from his dream. So he runs toward it. He's like, this way. So Ginny is also kind of taken by this. And she sees this in this bell jar. There is this, like, tiny little egg. It looks like an egg, but it's a jewel. And then it cracks open and a hummingbird emerges from it. And the hummingbird flits about. And then when it gets to the top of the jar, there's sort of a draft and his feathers get all tangled and damp. And it falls to the bottom of the jar and forms into an egg again. And she's just super mesmerized by it. And Harry's like, no, we gotta go. And she's like, hey, you were allowed to look at that veil for a really long time, dude. I can look at this thing. It's way cooler. But anyway, so they finally go beyond there and then there's the last door. So he goes through the door and he's in this room that's like a church, which he remembers from his dream. And he's like, this is it. This is 100% the room because there are all sorts of shelves with these orbs, these glass dusty orbs on them. And Hermione says, didn't you say it was row 97? So they're near row 53. Yeah, so they're near row 53. They turn, it's 54. Like, okay, we're going to keep going this way. So they keep going this direction. And as they get closer, you know, and Harry's telling them to keep their wands out and they're all very tense and they're moving forward. And he remembers, you know, he's expecting to see Sirius's body on the ground at any point. And, you know, he might already be dead, but he's like, no, I would have known if he was dead. And he's having all of these panicky thoughts as he gets closer and closer and doesn't see anything. And he's like, no, he's just hidden around the corner. And so Harry tells them all, you know, no, Sirius is right at this end. He's at this end. And they get to the end, and there's no Sirius anywhere. He's not in that room. He's not at row 97. There's nothing around there. And, you know, he's panicking, and he realizes that he doesn't think Sirius is there. And he says this out loud, and he doesn't want to look at anyone because, I mean, one, he's probably panicking about Sirius, but two, Hermione told him it was a trick.
Yeah.
You know, she said, don't go there. This is not
You're
right.
You're supposed to be closing your mind.
So Ron, who's nearby, calls Harry, and Harry, you know, wants to basically sink into a hole and die. And Ron calls him again and asks, have you seen this? And Harry asks, have I seen what? And Ron tells him, it's got your name on it. And he's looking at one of the glass dusty spheres on the shelf. And Harry doesn't quite understand and asks him my name. And he looks forward and on this piece of old paper that's like written in spidery writing, was a date from 16 years ago. And below that it says, SPT2APWBD.
Ah.
Dark Lord and ? Harry Potter. And Ron asks him what it is. And Hermione tells Harry that she doesn't think he should touch it.
Listen to Hermione!
And Harry goes, why not? It has my name on
it. Doesn't mean you have to touch it. God damn it, Harry.
It has to do with me, so I'm allowed to touch it. And Neville tells him, like, Harry, you should not touch that.
Oh my God.
Harry kind of doesn't care at this point because he is feeling just out of his mind, I think, because he hasn't found Sirius. He knows he's fallen into a trap. So he closes his finger around the ball. He thinks it's going to be hot, but it's not, actually. It's actually pretty warm, like it's been sitting in the sun. And he's looking at it, and he lifts it up, and he's staring at it. No one is moving. And then all of a sudden, from behind him, he hears someone tell him, "Very good, Potter. Now turn around nice and slowly and give that to me."
Should have listened to fucking Hermione and Neville, Harry! Always listen to them.
So many times. Yeah, so we are actually seeing the room. One of the biggest things in this chapter is we actually see the room that Harry has dreamed about all book.
Yeah.
And his dreams were relatively prophetic in that he was able to find where he needed to be based on his dreams. Even though he hadn't seen, you know, the clocks, everything like that, he knew what the shimmery light looked like. And same with the you know, that room. He didn't know which door he's supposed to go in, but he knew enough when he tried it.
Yeah.
So yes, this is the first time we're like really deep inside the Department of Mysteries.
And it's filled with mysteries.
Yeah. We see slimy, weird skulls in a tank. We see a room full of clocks, which kind of makes me think of the movie Hook. And you're like, go home, Jack. And then we see a room full of orbs. There's also a room that won't open, and we're not sure what that's about.
Interesting.
It's always wonder.
There's like literally nothing in there just to keep the mysteries. They like made 12 rooms just to like make it even.
Right, there's actually nothing in it.
Just they're like, well, we have one more room than we need. I'm like, well, keep it locked so the mysteries keep going.
Well, and also like, no one can actually get into it. So even the people who work in the Department of Mysteries are like, it's a mystery.
There's actually not a room. There's just a door against a wall. And the door is the wall. So there's not a key.
So can I tell you something, though? I was literally just talking about this weekend, is that when I lived in this house, the house that I lived in England, in Bath, it was built in the 1730s. So it was a Georgian house. So they really, really like symmetry in Georgian time, like in the Georgian era. And so in our living room, there was a door that led out to the hallway. And then the other side, there's also a doorway. So that's perfectly symmetrical. And
there's
the door
there.
Literally opened to the wall. It didn't do anything. They just wanted it to be perfectly symmetrical.
I mean, it makes sense design-wise, I guess.
I was like, oh my God, there's a body behind there. And then the person who manages the house, who is like this lovely, this older British woman, she's like, oh no, that's just because they like things to be even. And I was like, oh, darn it.
Sure, that's what she said. She's a serial
wink,
murderer.
Wink, nudge, nudge. So I guess my question is, what do we think who do we think is behind Harry? Like, what's going on there?
It's Sirius Black.
It's Sirius Black.
He's been double timing the order.
Lord Voldemort.
Oh, it's Voldemort. Also, why do we think that there's a question mark before Harry's name on
because
the
Because they
orb?
Weren't sure it was him or Neville.
Oh, that's a good theory.
That is a very good theory.
No, I don't that's what understand it is. How it's grounded,
Michael!
But
Michael! I think it's magic.
It's magic, Michael. No, I guess, and I mean, I think we'll probably get more into the veil as we go on.
Yeah.
But I even reading this, obviously we know what happens with the veil, which is they make a cape out of it.
Yeah.
No, there's
that's how invisibility cloaks are made.
Is born. Yep. There it is. No, but it's interesting to me because only Luna and Harry can hear the voices whispering behind it.
And do you think it's the same like principles as a thestral?
As a thestral, right? I feel like that has. I feel like it's got to be that, right? And so I do wonder. I do wonder, like the physicality. I mean, obviously, we even knowing what it is, like even knowing what happens with it. Do we actually know what it is and what it's made of and how it came to be?
I will go into it a little bit next one.
Okay.
I can talk about it now if you want.
No. If you're gonna go into it in your
no,
chapter,
I mean, I
next
can do
week.
It now. It doesn't really matter. I was just gonna go through it as part of my chapter, but I mean,
no. Let's go through it with your chapter because your chapter is called Beyond the Veil.
That's true.
Leave people hanging.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't really have any questions. There's just, you know, it's a lot of mystery in this chapter, which I think a lot will be. Yeah. Oh my God, they're
the
after me.
The question is,
are you all right?
It's like a running theme.
I found
theme.
Out all the mysteries. They're after me.
I don't really have any questions. Mm-hmm. All of my questions are, what are those brain things? What are those orb things? What are those time things? But I think we'll get some of those answers next week.
That's my thought, too. And I think we should just, you know, this is a real bummer.
Just be patient.
We didn't see Sirius. Harry's in trouble. A lot of bummer things happening. So maybe we should have like a lighthearted segment next.
With a friend.
You guys down with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Michael, you have to be into it.
Okay, I'm into it.
No, you don't. You don't. You get to choose.
He'll be into it. Let's go to the segment.
All right, thanks, guys.
It was a great chapter. Bye.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what?
Hey.
So I thought that we could have, like, you know, a little bit of fun, do something a little saucy for this week with a special guest. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been, these chapters have been pretty heavy, so we need a break from all the serious talk.
Sarah, that's a great idea.
Oh, my God. Thank you. It was all my idea. So, yeah. So I have our friend Courtney McClanahan here.
Hey, everyone.
Courtney!
Hello.
Hey, Courtney.
It's me.
Courtney's going to join us because we're going to play a really fun game that we are calling Bewitched, Get Hitched. Michael says leave in a ditch. Maybe we could make it, like, turn into a snitch. I don't know. Is that something that would be bad for someone if they got turned into a snitch? You had to fly around forever.
I'd rather leave him in a ditch.
He'd probably end up in Harry Potter's mouth eventually, which sounds weird.
Look.
Wow.
Which is maybe true to the game. I don't know.
I like leaving a ditch because you can murder someone and leave them in a ditch.
Yeah, leave them in a ditch.
That's where I always leave them. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we are playing the nicer version. Well, not nicer, but we're just playing the cleaner version of Fuck, Marry, Kill. But adult Harry Potter characters and potentially creatures. Emphasis on adult because we're not creepy.
But first, Courtney, tell us something about yourself.
Yes, please.
Oh, I am from Jacksonville, Florida. Go Jags. And I know all of you lovely people from Geekly Inc. And I make coffee for a living.
Yeah, good coffee. She made me coffee at GeeklyCon. It was very good.
What is your preferred method of making coffee? Do you like percolating? Do you like pour over? Do you like just an old coffee pot?
For myself, I like pour over.
K-cups.
K-cups, you know.
You're fired. Off the podcast.
You know, the kind that dissolves in water.
Josh buys Chock Full of Nuts from Kroger, and that's the coffee he makes.
Stop.
I'm not joking.
To each his own, I guess. But he's wrong.
That's true.
He also only uses like 3 scoops for 10 cups of water, and it's like drinking coffee-flavored water.
Yeesh.
That sounds like a nightmare.
He's saving you money, though.
Yeah, he also drinks it all day, so I think he's, like, trying to not get too wired, but it drives me insane. But, you know.
Whatever.
God love him.
You love him anyway.
Bless his heart.
So, yeah, so we're going to play this game. Are there any rules that we need to establish?
Other than, like, you know, adults?
Well, yeah, but beyond that, no. Okay, cool. Who wants to go first?
Don't everybody volunteer at once.
Michael, you got to go first.
Oh, dang.
I would love to go first, because that means that...
Oh, yeah, he was really worried that one
We're
of us
steal
was...
Yeah.
And if you steal my stuff, then I'm going to interrupt you in the middle, and I'm going to go, and Alan's just going to have to edit it out.
Oh, man. Dang.
All right, so mine has a theme of...
Oh, look at another nerd.
Of Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Ooh.
Alistair Moody.
Okay.
Lockhart or Umbridge. Those are your three.
Courtney, you want to go first?
Yes, I do. Okay, Alistair Moody. So are we talking actual Alistair Moody, or are we talking Alistair Moody as he was a actual teacher?
Good question.
I think it's the actual one.
Actual Moody, okay.
But he wasn't the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
I changed my mind. I think it's the Defense Against the Dark Arts one.
That does add a very complicated layer to this.
Yeah.
So Barty Crouch Jr.
You're saying it's really Barty Crouch Jr. disguised as Mad-Eye Moody.
Yes, but so he looks like Mad-Eye Moody whole time.
Not like David Tennant.
But he's evil. Oh, okay. Dang.
But if he was evil, it looked like David Tennant.
That changes my option, though.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I think we do have to set up some parameters. So what do each of these mean? Because I've definitely heard different rulings on what being married means.
Being married means that you don't have sex, but you're best friends and you live with each other.
Oh, wait, you don't have sex?
You hang out all the time. I don't think you have sex.
What?
You can't have sex.
It's not what it sounds like.
Because then what's the point of like having sex with one person and then being married to another
person? There are probably a lot of people in this universe that I'd be like, yeah, I'd have sex with that person, but I wouldn't marry that person.
That's why you pick them for the having sex one.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But you can still have sex with somebody you're married to.
Right. Part of the mentality is that you can have sex with them a lot.
Yeah, but in this game, you don't.
I don't think that's the way it works, Sarah.
Oh, God, I don't know
about
life.
To the three married people, Sarah. Yeah, you don't have sex after you're married.
As soon as it happens, it's over.
That's true. Dear God, I'm outnumbered.
The minister that presides over your marriage takes your peen and your Virginia. So you can't have sex.
Just for reproduction.
Oh, man.
You have to go and check it out.
That's two babies all around.
All right.
Okay, I definitely forgot the people already.
Okay, Alistair Moody.
Okay.
Gilderoy Lockhart and Dolores Umbridge. Now, like, you don't want to kill any of them, so that's the hard one, I think.
Yeah, that's the difficult one. All right. I fuck Umbridge.
Oh, shit. Wow. Surprising.
Wow. Right out of the
gate.
What
a twist. What a twist.
I'd marry Moody, kill Lockhart.
Because
Moody would be fucking fun to be married to. Whether or not he was bad, he would be so much fun.
He'd keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
On his one foot. you could... Okay, I do... Okay, so the other two... I'm with you on that. Could you explain the rationale between fucking Umbridge or bewitching Umbridge, as it were?
Oh, right. I forgot. I definitely already forgot about those terms.
No, it's okay. We all forgot.
No, I think it just means, aren't we just saying that it means the exact same thing?
It means the exact same thing.
I don't know. We're just trying to be wizardy.
Would you, I would kind of do the same thing because I wouldn't want to, I would either fuck Lockhart and kill Umbridge or fuck Umbridge and kill Lockhart.
Actually,
I couldn't be married to either of them.
Yeah. Well, I was torn between the two of it, but I don't know. Because you can have like really angry sex with someone, you can hate them and still.
Yeah.
Have good sex. However, she is kind of just generally gross. Mm-hmm. So I might retcon my answer.
Oh.
But if you're into like S&M, she might be the person for you.
It's true. She would be into some weird kinky shit.
Remember all those like him noises she makes? She'd probably make that all through sex.
God, no. Man. Okay, yeah, no. I changed my answer. I will fuck Lockhart and absolutely kill Umbridge.
Lockhart is...
I guess he is like...
is objectively attractive, right?
I just forget that he's attractive because his horrible personality just...
Yeah, he's the worst.
I will say, though, that he might be the... Like, he's... I was going to say that I would marry... I was going to do the same thing. I was going to kill Umbridge, marry Moody, and fuck Lockhart. But I think he'd probably be the worst at sex out
because
of
he's so into himself.
He's
he wouldn't
so
be a giver.
Self-absorbed.
That's that was initially the rationale.
He would have, like, 20,000 mirrors around and, like, not care about what... is happening with you, he would probably just look in the mirror and be like, yeah, I'm really good.
I don't know
good.
If I'd be
I'm
into
really
that now that I think about it. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I would marry Lockhart because he's the only one who isn't going to cast unforgivable curses on me.
That's true.
At some point.
And he's probably the richest.
He probably does have a lot of money and he is adult, so he doesn't really know what's going on.
Michael's a gold digger. We just found out.
I think you gotta kill Umbridge and... Which just leaves Moody.
You're gonna fuck Moody?
You're gonna fuck Moody.
I think he'd be very damn. I think he'd be very learned. I think he'd be very worldly.
This is true.
That's true. He could he's gonna use that stump leg.
Oh, I was gonna say he's gonna use his third sight to see what you really need.
He's already looking through your clothes, the creep.
That's true. He already knows what he's getting into.
Oh, that was so literal.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with what Courtney said. So, Sarah?
Wait, you solved it. Okay, so I think...
Oh, I would fuck Lockhart. I would marry Moody. I would kill Umbridge.
Yeah, you know what?
Because I also kind of want the satisfaction of killing Umbridge.
Yeah, but I don't know. Now I'm kind of thinking he might be a terrible person of sex. But then now that Michael's talking about it, if we're not factoring sex into the marriage thing, he's kind of doing his own thing, which means I can kind of do my own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have no business with me, and I'd have his money. So, I don't know. Maybe I just... Listen to that. The police are coming to get me because they are like, wrong. You would fuck Umbridge, you would marry Lockhart, and you would kill Moody. That's all of the wrong choices.
Oh, but if I can you marry Lockhart, is this post-memory loss Lockhart? Because then it's just like being married to a vegetable, and then you can really do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which is
so.
Very shitty.
But I mean, if it has to be Moody, who was Moody when he was Defense Against the Dark Arts, then maybe it has to be Lockhart. That was Lockhart during Defense of the Dark Arts.
Okay, right. Fine.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I would marry Moody, I'd fuck Lockhart, and I'd kill Umbridge, but...
Stop being a gold digger, Michael.
And now I'm kind of torn, because I think Lockhart would be terrible to sleep with, but you know what? If you gotta do what you gotta do.
If you married Umbridge, she has all those cute kittens and stuff, so that's a bonus.
And yeah, lots of plates and
she doesn't
stuff.
Have actual kittens, though, it's just like...
She's just obsessed with, like, plates. Kitten-related... Yes.
Maybe she has cat kittens, just never saw them.
I don't think she has, maybe. Like, the emotional capacity to, like, keep any creature alive.
That's fair enough.
True, but she is very ambitious, you know, and sometimes that's what you look for in a spouse.
All right, who's next? Who's going Party. Next?
Okay, so I can do this a few different ways. My type A ass categorized all of my fuck, marry, kill options. So, would you like to pick from the creatures? Would you like to pick from the Order of the Phoenix? Would you like to pick from the Death Eaters or from the Teachers?
Death Eaters.
Okay. Yeah, we already did Teachers.
Teachers or Death Eaters?
Okay. No, Death Eaters. I want we death already eaters. Did Teachers.
Okay. Wormtail. Barty Crouch Jr. Fenrir Greyback.
Oh.
Right.
Oh. One of my creatures.
Okay. So here, can I go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Pettigrew.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I can't deal with him. I would fuck Greyback.
Yikes.
And then I'd marry Barty Crouch Jr. That's where I'm at.
Especially David Tennant.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what if he looks like David Tennant? Two, I couldn't deal. I think I might turn into a Death Eater. Like, I might actually become a murderer if I had to live with Pettigrew just because of how annoying he is. I mean, I guess he'd be subservient or something, but I don't think I'd be into that.
He would be like that really, really annoying kind of subservient, though. He'd just, like, annoy you with trying to please you all the time. And
yeah.
Get us fine. Do something.
Right. And I definitely don't want to fuck him, so bye. And then Greyback is super evil, but I feel like he might be kind of hot.
Yeah.
Barty Crouch is slightly less evil than Greyback, even though he is still evil. I still think he's slightly less evil, even though he did try and kill his dad. Right, maybe if I married him, I'd be like one of those Manson brides because he'd be in prison and I would just be like writing letters to him and I'd be at home doing my own thing.
But I was going to say, Fenrir Greyback is like actively out there trying to attack
people.
Kids.
Right, that like, yeah, he's super evil, but maybe a little bit hot. I don't know. So that's, I stand by what I said.
I mean, he's probably real muscly. All right.
But he's not going to be a gentle lover, I think is fair to say.
I mean,
he might bite you, and then you'd be a werewolf.
True. It would be a real risky.
I mean, he's gonna bite you.
Put a muzzle on him before you know. I don't know. I would definitely, I think, I'd probably kill Fenrir, have sex with Barty Crouch, and I would marry Peter Pettigrew. Just because I'll be like, just turn into a rat and go somewhere. Just go live as a rat.
Just like, you just beat him down until he goes back into... Yeah. Living with the Weasleys mode.
Yeah.
He just stays around all the time.
Or just, like, scare him enough that he does whatever. So, like, just be like, stay in the kitchen. Or stay out of my sight.
It would be easy to bully him.
Yeah, exactly. I want to bully Peter Pettigrew.
I'm actually going to go with Bajaya on this one.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah. His Fenrir is too dangerous.
Mean. Yeah.
He would hurt. He'd be painful.
Oh.
He's got to die.
He got to die. All right. Mine's creatures.
Jai is into some weird stuff.
Yeah. Mine is creatures. Peeves, Graw, or Grip Hook.
Interesting.
You said what? Peeves, what, or Grip Hook?
Grop. What? Is Grop an adult?
See, I feel like I can't. Grop seems too childish to me, so I feel like I can't. And I don't really want to kill him. Can I just send him to boarding school?
Okay, Rob is like a cave. He's an adult, I think. He's like a cave man.
That's true, because in my chapter later, Hagrid talks about getting him
maybe
a lady.
Make
friend,
a, maybe
so.
Make it. What's the corpse cadaver guy? What's that dude's name?
Corpse cadaver guy.
I don't know. What now? Name like, what was the head? What's the head? Your guy who you don't. The guy who you was your answer in. Well, one of the answers in upcoming.
Oh, Golgamon or whatever.
No. He's a giant.
Yeah, Golgamon.
No, there's another one.
Gurg
is the chief of the giants.
Yeah, him.
That's a title. It's a title.
Yeah, that's a title.
I don't remember. For some reason, it sounded like a dead body in my mind.
All right. But how about Brunhilde, which is, I think, Hagrid's mom or something?
I mean, I guess we could say Grop. He just seems very childish in my mind.
Yeah, I think he's an adult. So Peeves, Grop, or Griphook. Go.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, man.
Bringing out the big guns.
I think you marry Griphook. He's a goblin, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of gold.
His finances are like all in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has all the spreadsheets.
He's probably real smart too, right? Like
he'd be a reliable mate.
Yeah.
He'd be grumpy as fuck, but he'd be reliable.
It's true.
Interesting conversation, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean he'd be at work all day.
But you can spend That's all true. His money.
Yeah.
So if you didn't want to be around him, you could get a night job.
I feel like you'd also like always talk about how goblins made all this stuff and wizards stole all of it and stuff like that.
He'd complain a lot.
Yeah.
But he'd be like that crotchety old, he'd be like marrying Nick Miller.
Yeah.
Except that you're good with your money.
Except that he would make you dinner and he'd be like, this belongs to the goblins. I made this. And then he wouldn't let you eat it. And
he's like, you're only borrowing it. You have to give it back to me afterwards.
Okay, I'll
After
vomit.
You're done with it.
I wouldn't like
he
it.
He would claim all of your poop. He's like, that's mine.
And because it, I mean, you know, who knows? I'm just saying.
I think they'd be a solid spouse.
Can you kill Peeves?
Sure. In this scenario, you can.
Okay.
See, my first instinct
is to fuck Peeves.
Was to fuck Peeves, marry Grop, and kill Griphook. That was my first instinct. Yeah. But now talking more about, because Peeves is really annoying, but
about the stability of marriage.
But it'd kind of be funny, and I'd probably be able to live in Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah,
he would make you laugh.
It would make you laugh there and, all like, the time. What if you just leaned into it and you just joined him in the shenanigans?
Right.
But he would also like try to. I don't know, drop a cabinet on your head because he thought it was funny.
I think that's funny, though.
Yes, you would.
You would die!
Whatever.
I bet you could probably get some sway over him, you know?
Maybe. I guess Fred and George kind of got to him for a little bit. So.
Right.
So what's your all the answers?
It's tough.
Kill Griphook?
I'd kill Grop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd kill Grop if I had to. Because I don't want to.
He is a big liability, and no house is big enough for a giant. Come on.
No. Right.
And come on, the physics behind trying to fuck him. That's just.
That's
just true. Not going to work.
There's so
He still has a mouth
on so many levels.
That's true.
Courtney! I almost got out of here.
He's got yellow brick sized teeth, though.
That's true.
He would, like accidentally eat you. Yeah. While trying to eat it.
Thanks, Vagina. I was hoping someone would notice that.
You're welcome.
Oh, no.
Wow. Sarah, it's your turn.
Okay, guys. I also have a theme. We all pick, a lot of us went for themes.
We're all nerds.
There's just too many characters to pick from the entire smorgasbord. You have to, like, categorize it.
So my theme is house ghosts.
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, Nearly Headless Nick, the Bloody Baron, or the Fat Friar.
Kill the Fat Friar.
Oh my god.
That was my first go-to also.
I fuck the Bloody Baron. And I was
Because he's very weird. Passionate.
Yeah.
Well, he's also very passionate about his love, and I feel like the passion would come out in the sex, maybe. I don't know.
Because
he loved Helena so much that he killed her.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of passion there.
So what you're saying is the precedent he set was he loves someone so much he murdered them. So you want to be involved with someone who would maybe
just once
for one night.
For one night, I don't want to marry him because I don't want him to murder me because he loves me so much.
Yeah,
he'll obviously fall madly in love with me.
It's true. Duh. Who doesn't?
But, yeah.
And then I would marry Nearly Headless Nick just because I love him so much.
I feel like you gotta marry the friar.
I'm going to marry the friar.
Mm-mm. Who would you kill?
I'd kill Bloody Baron. Nope. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love Nick, but he's a little bit needy.
And insecure.
And insecure.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And I feel like the fat friar, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but friars, like, their whole thing is that they, like, brew a lot of beer. And he's very jolly. So I feel like he would just make beer and be really jolly all the time. And I'd be maybe this isn't intellectually where I'd want my relationship to be, but I'd probably be happier in the long run.
I just remember the scene from, I think, the first Harry Potter where he's coming out of the table going, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I feel like he would do that all the time, and I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Get out of here. You're so annoying.
So, Michael, sorry you didn't finish. You said you'd marry the fat friar because?
Uh-huh. Because I think he would be, in his true Hufflepuffy nature, he would be non-offensive and
very annoying.
He'd want to have fun.
You could take him to a dinner party.
Yeah. Man, it is back and forth between Nick and the Baron, though, for the other stuff.
Right, because I agree on the passion thing with the Baron, for sure.
But maybe Nick would try harder because, you know.
It's true, but he'd probably cry.
He's such a, everything's been such a letdown for him.
Poor guy.
Yeah, kill Nick.
Maybe the marriage will be like his substitution for not getting into the headless hunt, and he would like pour his heart and soul into your marriage.
That's true.
And stop caring so much about being really headless.
There's a head joke to be made in all of this that
somewhere.
I'm just going to leave on the table.
Nearly.
Nearly headless. That was good.
How can you be nearly headless?
So yeah.
Your cat is currently cleaning.
I was also coming up with all sorts of different categories. I had like hot dudes was a category. So I had like Kingsley and Malfoy and Charlie Weasley.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Which Malfoy? Yes. Lucius, I guess?
Lucius, yeah. No, Lucius for sure.
Oh, man.
Megan was trying to get me to do Death Eaters like McNair, Dalahov. I don't know, like one of the Carrow brothers.
Those are too specific. I feel like I don't know much about
them. They're just evil. And then McNair tried to kill Buckbeak, and he was really excited about it.
Right. And the Carrows killed the Weasley, Mrs. Weasley's brother.
Yeah, and Dalahov tries to curse Hermione in the next chapter.
Man.
Jaya, did you do yours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mine was the creatures.
Right.
What about Tonks, Mrs. Weasley?
Oh, man.
And
all likable characters, McGonagall. So we have to, it's like
I
really hard.
I was going to say McGonagall. I'm trying to think. Yeah, McGonagall. Those three wonderful women.
I would marry Tonks. Oh, God, this is really hard. I said, I'd marry Tonks.
I would marry Mrs. Weasley.
And I'd fuck McGoogles, and then I'd kill Mrs. Weasley, which is terrible. I can't do any of that.
No. I would fuck Tonks. I'd kill McGonagall. And I would marry Mrs. Weasley because she's very good at cooking.
Yeah, that's a
good point. Wow, Desire. Way to subjugate women.
McGoogle is old, and I feel like Tonks can like change into different people or different like.
But I feel
things.
Like, but I feel that's true. I feel like Tonks would be a fun, like a person who I'd want to spend my time with. So yeah, I'd want to marry her.
Mm.
I feel like McGonagall is going to be like more adventurous than Mrs. Weasley.
Here's one for you all: James, Lupin, or Sirius.
Oh no!
Oh man!
Kill James.
Hmm.
Mary he's Lupin. Already dead.
Fuck Lupin, because I don't want to like marry him and deal with his bullshit.
Yeah.
Marry Sirius.
See, I was thinking that I might fuck Lupin, marry James, and kill Sirius. I just feel like Sirius has a lot of
immature.
He has a lot of growing up to do, and I can't handle a lot of that nonsense. And I love Lupin, and my first instinct is to marry him.
But there's that whole, like, once a month thing that...
But he's aware, which I'm not going to hold against him. It's more that he has a lot of guilt issues and I have a lot of guilt issues. So I feel like the two of us with our guilt issues would just be an emotional wreck all the time. Whereas I think James would be a little bit more fun-loving. Yeah, I feel like James would be kind of fun-loving, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I feel like James is like Sirius, where that he would be very entertaining and fun to be around, but he is definitely more mature than Sirius.
A little more level-headed, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what about you, Michael?
I think you gotta marry Lupin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna kill James and fuck Sirius.
Okay. We all have different permutations. Just,
We have different priorities, definitely.
Yeah. This is true.
My backup was Vernon, Petunia, or Aunt Marge.
Oh God.
Oh no.
I'm gonna marry... This is the worst one.
I'm gonna marry Petunia.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck Aunt Marge and kill Vernon.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any of them.
Although, if I married Aunt Marge, well, I guess if I killed her, too. If I kill her, I could take the dogs.
I was going to say, if you marry her, you at least have dogs. There's nothing good about marrying or fucking Dursley. Vernon. Yeah, I think I'd do the same. Oh, man. I'm going to go vomit now.
That's rough.
Yeah, this is good. This is fun.
Yeah,
good job, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Courtney, for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Courtney.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you came and had this inappropriate conversation with us.
I stand inappropriate conversations.
It levitated the mood, if you will.
Tell our listeners where they can find you on the Twitters and the internet.
You can find me at Twitter at Courtney_Brews, and... that's pretty much it.
Brews as in brewing coffee.
As in brewing coffee.
As in punching an injury. You. Yeah.
That's a
on the on the side, she also fights in MMA fights, and she likes to bruise people.
I do.
Oh my God. Mm. You would totally, if you were a roller derby person, you would definitely, your name would be Bruiser, but it would be spelled like
Bruiser. That's funny.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing roller derby.
I'm just saying. That's what I seems like it's. Just your dusting.
You should
now.
Do it, Courtney. Do it.
So wait, it would be a wasted opportunity.
Yeah,
I really would.
You're welcome.
This has been swell.
Thanks, Courtney.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Courtney.
Bye.
Don't do a murder. Join us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Special thanks to Alan Matthews, our editor, Jesse Carlton, who provided our artwork, and Sean Fagan, who provided our music. Hi, friends. Want to help us out? Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you want to get in touch, email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Want to talk to us on Twitter? Find us at potterpod. Or find me at Her Lady Tompkins. Michael is Thrifty Nerd, and Vijaya is Ethnic Ninja. I did it, guys.
You did
it.
One take.
One take Tompkins. No. That's what they call me.
One take Tompkins.